And that would be actually a suggestion just for retirement savers generally. Look at what the default contribution rate is. And in Australia, there's opportunity to contribute more, to put in, you know, your own personal contributions. You might try, you know, doing a calculator to look to see whether you should take advantage of that and put some more money into the system so that it can grow for you. So I think paying attention to the default is important as well. And typically people do. We find that over time, you know, the account starts to grow and then it gains some more importance because it's gone from just little contributions that you weren't totally paying attention to a sizable account balance that, you know, you then start to pay attention to. So I think there's a bit of a cycle of human nature of when it's just a little bit being put aside, when it finally accumulates to something, you do start to pay attention. But I would suggest that maybe starting to pay attention earlier would be a good idea as well.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Wouldn't it be great for some insider knowledge to see how you're tracking, how your retirement savings and investing is stacking up against everyone else? Well, there is a way, and that information is available via the Investment Company Institute. Today's guest, Sarah Holden, conducts and oversees research on the US retirement market, retirement and tax policy, investor demographics and behavior, and international issues. Sarah is responsible for analysis of 401k plan participant activity using data collected in a collaborative effort with the Employee Benefit Research Institute, or EBRI. In addition, she analyzes the role of mutual funds in the retirement marketplace, including defined contribution plan and IRA markets. She oversees the IRA investor database, which contains data on more than 10 million IRA investors and allows analysis of IRA investors' contributions, rollover and withdrawal activity, and asset allocations. Sarah is also responsible for managing household survey research on a range of topics relevant to the fund industry and policy formation. Prior to joining the Institute, Ms. Holden worked as a staff economist in the flow of funds section of the research division at the Federal Reserve Board. Ms. Holden is a graduate of the Smith College and holds a PhD in economics from the University of Michigan. Wow, if you want to get the inside knowledge, this is the lady to ask. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast show. And today on the line, I have Sarah Holden, and Sarah is the Senior Director of Retirement and Investor Research for the Investment Company Institute. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And I believe you have been to Australia before with your work. How did you find it?
So, yes, I was lucky enough to travel to Sydney because as part of the work we do here at the Investment Company Institute is collect data on the fund industry all around the world, and Australia participates in that data collection. So I had a trip to Sydney, and I did get a little bit of free time, and I had a great time doing a behind-the-scenes tour of the zoo. And I also went out to Manly Wharf to see the little penguins that are there. So really a lovely city, and at the same time got to touch base with some of our members who offer funds in the Australian market and also learn about the Australian market.
And your background is in research, I gather, from what you're saying.
Yeah, so the Investment Company Institute, we're based in Washington, D.C., although we do have two global offices, one in London and one in Hong Kong. And we are the leading association that represents regulated investment funds globally. So in the US, they're called mutual funds or exchange traded funds. And in other jurisdictions, they have similar names. And we basically gather data on the fund market all around the world. And we represent our members before regulators and policymakers here in Washington, D.C., whenever they're contemplating making changes to either some of the rules governing the fund market or the retirement market, because we're very concerned that we've got 100 million shareholders in the United States alone invested in mutual funds, and we want to be sure that they're going to continue to have access to what is a well-regulated, cost-effective, diversified product. And here in the U.S., there's a big overlap between mutual fund investing and saving for retirement. So we study that area of the market as well. And that's really what I focus on. So I focus on analyzing retirement savers and how they're going about building that nest egg for retirement.
Right. Well, before we get into that, is there similarities between the American market and the Australian market?
Yeah, I think there are really quite a few similarities. You have a fund industry that's a very good size compared to your economy, so compared to your gross domestic product. And you also have a very mature system in place that's helping people build that nest egg for retirement. So you've got the super, where the employer is putting in, I think it's 9.5% at this point, into an account of for individuals starting from their very first job. In the U.S., our parallel to your super, we have Social Security, which has a 12.4% contribution going in. The employer pays half of it. The employee pays the other half. But our contributions aren't going into an account. They're going into a formula that's going to pay me a benefit at retirement based on really my salary over all of my working years. So it's a slightly different structure in terms of that mandatory employer-based system. But in the U.S., we have something that looks a lot like the super in terms of its design with respect to it's a defined contribution plan. And so here it's voluntary. Employers choose to offer a defined contribution plan, and then the employer can choose to put money in, and then workers themselves contribute to those plans. And we, you know, accumulate our own little nest egg in that defined contribution plan at our various jobs.
Right. Well, you explain it very well. And it's interesting that we're all being encouraged. I know my generation and older, we didn't have that ability to pay into the superannuation fund that we have here in Australia for saving for retirement. And so the people of my age and older, it wasn't compulsory when we first started work. So for the younger generation, it's going to benefit them more than us.
Yeah, and that kind of a system works very well for young workers because, you know, when you're just starting out at your job and you have, you know, your paycheck doesn't seem that big to you. It's important, though, to take that little bit and put it aside for retirement because you have compounding on your side at that point. So the super gets people started saving, you know, with their first job for retirement. Similarly, in the United States, when a young worker today enters the workforce, they're going to typically be offered what I'll call 401k plan is the name of our defined contribution plan typically. And they're going to be offered that plan. And typically 9 out of 10 of them are going to be in a plan where the employer will put money in if they put money in. So there's this added inducement to encourage workers to put the money aside for retirement. And what's great about both of these systems is those dollars go into an account that's yours. It has your name on it. It's your account. And I think Australians are just like American workers, change jobs over the course of your career. And especially when you're younger, you could go through quite a few different jobs. And with this kind of an account, you can consolidate them and move them with you over time. And that money just continues to grow over the rest of your career.
All right. So you've done a lot of research with retirement and investment. So based on your studies, what are some of the fundamentals for everyday retirement savers now?
So really there's, I think, three fundamental things to keep track of. First, you want to stay committed and keep doing this paycheck by paycheck. Then you want to think about how you're going to invest the money. And there it's important to diversify. And it's important to ask yourself whether you're more of a do-it-yourself investor. Do you enjoy, you know, tracking markets and picking the different investments? Or would you rather get some help with that? And you could get help with that by going to an advisor. Or in the U.S., we have something called target date funds. And with that, it's a single fund. And all you have to figure out is the approximate year you're going to retire. So let's say I'm young and I'm going to retire in 2060. I will put my money into the 2060 target date fund. It'll have 2060 in its name. And now that I'm young, that fund is going to be very much focused on growth. It's going to have a lot of equity investing in it. But as I age and get closer to retirement, the fund is going to continue to be diversified for me, but it's going to rebalance for me as well, so that by the time I get to that target date of the year 2060, it will be much more focused on income as I'm thinking about stopping contributing, moving into retirement and starting to spend some money, so that it'll be move away from the equities, which could fluctuate and grow, towards more of a fixed income investment that will give me some income out of that fund. So if there's questions to ask yourself as an investor, you know, am I do it yourself? Would I like an investment professional to do it? Is there a single fund that could do it for me, like a balanced fund or one of these target date funds, and then allocate accordingly? And then the final thing we hinted at a little bit earlier is it's important to keep track of all of these different accounts, because it's not cost effective or efficient to have lots of small accounts trailing behind you as you move from job to job. So in the United States, we have something called the individual retirement account, which is a place where people can take that pot of money from their employment, from their job, and when they leave the job to go to another job, they could take that money and put it into the individual retirement account, maintain all of its special tax treatment, but consolidate the money together. And we asked people about why they move the money, it's because they don't want to leave the money behind with that former employer. They're worried they're going to lose track of it, and they want to consolidate, because as you consolidate your assets, you're able to get sort of more cost-effective investing.
Okay. You've just talked about a few things, but one that stood out was diversification, and diversification can mean many things. So could you please explain what you mean by diversification?
Yeah, so diversification can take on many forms. In its most basic level, it's basically the idea of don't put all your eggs in one basket. So you don't want to put your whole account in just one single security, because if something goes wrong, say you like a certain company and you put all your money in that company, if something happens to that company, you're sunk with it. Whereas if you diversify and you invest in maybe an index fund that puts you across a whole bunch of companies, then you've got a spreading out of risk across many more companies' performance rather than just putting your eggs all in that one basket of one company. So it's a very simple idea. You want to sort of spread the risk. You then need to decide whether equities, so investing stocks versus bonds, is for you. You might want to think about whether index investing. With index investing, basically the fund buys the representative share of all the companies on a given index. So in the United States, our big index is the S&P 500. So if I just want to have exposure to the broad equity market in the United States, I would get the S&P 500 fund, and it would be simply tracking that index. It wouldn't be trying to do better than it or doing worse than it. It would just be trying to match, it would perform as that index performs. Or I could decide that maybe I would like some active investing. And active investing might be something I would want to do when I'm going into international investing, because some research needs to be done and there's lots of countries to choose from and there's all sorts of complexities to that investing. So maybe having an active fund, you know, managing all those decisions is a good idea. And you decide between active and index, but also domestic and foreign. Do I want to only invest in my country, or would I like to have exposure to, you know, Europe or Asia or emerging markets? So these are all things to think about. But behind all of the thoughts about diversification, the other thing you have to ask yourself is, what level of risk are you willing to take? Are you going to be comfortable and okay if the stock market fluctuates while you're invested in it? Or is that just going to cause you too much worry? And in thinking about that, you'll want to think about, do I have time to wait for the market to come back up again? And for most of our young investors, they do. So in the US, we find that our young retirement savers are highly concentrated in stocks or equities because they want to take advantage of that growth opportunity.
You do the research and follow trends. What has been more popular that you have seen? Does it vary with age groups or for investing?
The trend really that we've seen here in the US was the recognition over time that not everybody is a do-it-yourself investor. So we do still have more than 20 investment options on average in the typical, you know, 401k retirement savings plan. So more than 20 options for people to choose among. And we've kept all that choice. But then there was recognition that they're, you know, people are busy. Some people aren't that excited by figuring out the stock market. And they would rather just hand the decision off, all those asset allocations decision off to an investment professional. And so we've seen a lot of growth in the target date funds. And as I said, they're a diversified fund. They rebalance over time, and they are very popular amongst our retirement savers. So we've got more than two-thirds of our 401k plans offer them, and more than half of 401k plan participants have invested in them, and they represent about a fifth of the assets in those retirement accounts. So an option that's professionally managed, it's cost effective, it's diversified, and on top of all that, it rebalances for you so you don't have to think about, oh, I'm getting older, I'm getting closer to retirement, should I, you know, try to figure out, you know, a different stock and bond allocation, the fund will do it for you. So that's been a trend here. The other trend has been to add index investing to the funds. But again, it's a sort of a better together story. The active options are still there. And then we have the index options for folks who'd like to have that as well. So I think keeping the choice and at the same time making this easier for everybody has been an innovation that's happened in the US.
That's very interesting because you can, if you are do it yourself, you can just buy these funds like you're just buying a stock.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're a do-it-yourself investor in the typical employer plan here, you do have a choice of, as I say, typically more than 20 options. With the individual retirement account, you have the choice of the whole market. And I believe that in Australia, there's the self-directed super, where again, you have a choice of pretty much the market. So there's a range of options available depending on how hands-on you want to be. But then there's also these solutions for the folks who are, you know, busy with their daily lives and want someone else to take care of that for them.
Yes. Well, even the do-it-yourself investors will probably get too old one day to be following all this too, and they'll probably want some easy options to change to.
Yeah, that's probably right. We have a lot of study going on that topic here in the U.S. of, as you have the older individuals managing more, you know, these large pots of money, making sure that they have a good set of options and services available to them, but also that they can manage it when they are getting to a point where maybe they're not as good at managing it.
So you were talking about pots of money. Can you also tell us about pension? You call it pot tracking. So what does that mean?
So it's just this idea that we change jobs so often in the United States, and there's a tendency to, as you move from one employer to the next, you may leave an account behind. So our Department of Labor oversees our private sector system. And one of the things they do is actually try to reunite people with their lost money. There are actually abandoned accounts. So in order to just avoid that altogether, workers should just be aware that when you change jobs in the U.S., you could move it to an IRA. You may be able to move it to the next employer. In Australia, there's a way to consolidate super accounts. And that's just something to keep track of because you don't want to lose the money. You don't want to lose track of it. And also, if you have a whole bunch of small accounts, there's some just what are called fixed costs to having each account. So it actually gets you a cost-effective and better investment solution if you just put them all together in one place. Yeah. So it makes it easier to track, but it also is more cost-effective to get them consolidated into one larger account instead of a whole bunch of little accounts all over the place.
Yes. They changed the system in Australia with employers. I don't remember the date, but years ago, each employer had their own company where they invested the compulsory savings for their employer, but it was changed eventually to that the employer could choose which company that money was put into. Mm-hmm. And so that's helped to cut down having these many accounts.
It makes it just so much easier for people to be sure that the other thing, when you leave an account behind, you're not paying as close attention to what the investment was. So it's hard for you to have a sense of what's your overall exposure to the stock market or international or domestic if you've got it broken up in lots of little places.
Yes. And I think even now, most employees just don't pay a lot of attention to how that money is invested, and they just sort of tick a box and say, you know, just do the average or something, and they don't actively take an interest in where that money's being invested.
Yeah, and that is something that can happen here as well. We have automatic enrollment has been expanding in our 401k system, which means that I, as a new worker, instead of having to sign up for the plan, they will automatically enroll me in the plan if I do nothing. So I end up on a very good path in that I'm automatically enrolled and that gets me saving. But then I haven't maybe paid close enough attention to what was the contribution rate that they started me at and what was the investment that they put me in. Typically, it is a target date fund. So we're good on that front. But sometimes here, the starting contribution might be too low for some people. And that would be actually a suggestion just for retirement savers generally. Look at what the default contribution rate is. And in Australia, there's opportunity to contribute more, to put in, you know, your own personal contributions. You might try, you know, doing a calculator to look to see whether you should take advantage of that and put some more money into the system so that it can grow for you. So I think paying attention to the default is important as well. And typically people do. We find that over time, you know, the account starts to grow and then it gains some more importance because it's gone from just little contributions that you weren't totally paying attention to a sizable account balance that, you know, you then start to pay attention to. So I think there's a bit of a cycle of human nature of when it's just a little bit being put aside, when it finally accumulates to something, you do start to pay attention. But I would suggest that maybe starting to pay attention earlier would be a good idea as well.
Yes, because if you get used to going without that money, well, then it's a good habit to be in. I've heard some people say 15% or even 17% would be a great habit to get into, to putting away for your future. Have you got any numbers on that?
Yeah, we see those numbers bantied around here as well. And that's sort of roughly the range that we hear in the U.S. Here it's a little difficult because our Social Security system, which is not means tested, so it's based on your work history, and it is designed so that if you're a lower income worker, you get a very high replacement rate from our Social Security system. And so our lower income workers would not need to save an extra 15% or 20%, whereas when we go up the income distribution by design, Social Security does less in terms of replacement rate. And from the middle to the upper income, they do need to save more and they do need to make those extra contributions, usually, you know, through the 401k plan or through the IRA. So that's why I said, I'm not sure if you've got, if the super has posted any calculators where you put in what your salary is and you sort of put in, you know, what the account balance looks like, and it can give you an idea of, you know, in 30 years, what might that kick off as income for you? And you can adjust your saving rate accordingly. So we have quite a few of those here in the U.S. The financial services firms post them. The Department of Labor here has one, as well as I think FINRA, another regulatory authority, has them as well. So they're commonplace, but they help with that question because there's really no one number fits everybody is the problem there.
Yes. Well, it's been great talking to you and to highlight the fact that there are these systems in place, but we probably need to look at our future. Unfortunately, in Australia, the equivalent of your Social Security is means tested. And so it rewards the people that don't have as much. And for anyone else who wants to have a moderate to better lifestyle in retirement, they have to save now and save more.
Yeah, I think it's really just for everybody, across the sort of the globe, important to put aside now while you're able-bodied and working. You just put aside a little bit so that it can grow, so that you can have it in retirement. And it is something you do little by little, paycheck by paycheck. And even little things like I'm an economist and my colleagues and I, we tend to bring in our lunch. And we sometimes will sit and eat it together at our desks with each other. But we, you know, it's a little way to save some money in order to be able to put aside for retirement. So there's little things along the way that can get you those little contributions that will grow and compound to be something that really helps you in retirement. So I worry people sometimes here get discouraged. They're like, oh, I can only do a little bit. Well, that little bit grows to be something big over, you know, 40 years. And then in retirement, you could have another 30 years. So you've got a long time for this to grow.
Yes. And that's the beauty of saving over the long term. You do get the benefit of the compounding of the length of the investment.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So now before we finish up, can you please tell me if anyone listening wanted to find out more about your company or if there was any information they were able to get hold of, where would they go?
Sure. So our website is ICI.org. And on that website, you'll find research that covers everything from stocks and bonds and fund investing to what retirement savers are doing. We have resource centers that answer frequently asked questions about risk and diversification. So there's really just a whole bunch of information right on our website. So I would encourage them to take a look there.
All right. Well, thank you very much. This has been Sarah Holden and from the Investment Company Research. And thanks very much for sharing your expertise and knowledge with us today.
It was really great chatting. I hope to be able to come visit again someday soon.
We've got a big country. We just don't have quite the population that you have in America. Bye.
All right, thanks for having me.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.